Chapter 12. Rue Jules Verne was a circumferential avenue, looping the spindle's midpoint, while Desiderata ran its length, terminating at either end in the supports of the Lado Atchison light pumps. If you turned right off Desiderata and followed Jules Verne far enough, you'd find yourself approaching Desiderata from the left. Case watched Bruce's trike until it was out of sight, then turned and walked past a vast, brilliantly lit newsstand, the covers of dozens of glossy Japanese magazines presenting the faces of the month's newest Simstim stars. Directly overhead, along the nighted axis, the hologram sky glittered with fanciful constellations suggesting playing cards, the faces of dice, a top hat, a martini glass. The intersection of Desiderata and Jules Verne formed a kind of gulch, the balconied terraces of freeside cliff dwellers rising gradually to the grassy tablelands of another casino complex. Case watched a drone microlight bank gracefully in an updraft at the green verge of an artificial mesa, lit for seconds by the soft glow of the invisible casino. The thing was a kind of pilotless biplane of gossamer polymer, its wings silk-screened to resemble a giant butterfly. Then it was gone, beyond the mesa's edge. He'd seen a wink of reflected neon off glass, either lenses or the turrets of lasers. The drones were part of the spindle's security system, controlled by some central computer. In Straylight? He walked on, past bars named the High-Low, the Paradise, Le Monde, Cricketeer, Shizuoka Smith's, Emergency. He chose Emergency because it was the smallest and most crowded, but it took only seconds for him to realize that it was a tourist place. No hum of biz here, only a glazed sexual tension. He thought briefly of the nameless club above Molly's rented cubicle, but the image of her mirrored eyes fixed on the little screen dissuaded him. What was Wintermute revealing there now? The ground plans of the Villa Straylight? The history of the Tessier Ashpools? He bought a mug of Carlsberg and found a place against the wall. Closing his eyes, he felt for the knot of rage, the pure, small coal of his anger. It was there still. Where had it come from? He remembered feeling only a kind of bafflement at his maiming in Memphis, nothing at all when he'd killed to defend his dealing interests in Night City, and a slack sickness and loathing after Linda's death under the inflated dome. But no anger. Small and far away, on the mind's screen, a semblance of Dean, a semblance of an office wall, in an explosion of brains and blood. He knew then. The rage had come in the arcade, when Wintermute rescinded the Simstim ghost of Linda Lee, yanking away the simple animal promise of food, warmth, a place to sleep. But he hadn't become aware of it until his exchange with the hollow construct of Lonnie's own. It was a strange thing. He couldn't take its measure. Numb, he said. He'd been numb a long time, years, all his nights down Ninsei, his nights with Linda, numb in bed and numb at the cold-sweating center of every drug deal. But now he'd found this warm thing, this chip of murder. Meat, some part of him said. It's the meat talking. Ignore it. Gangster. He opened his eyes. Kath stood beside him in a black shift, her hair still wild from the ride in the Honda. "Thought you went home," he said, and covered his confusion with a sip of Carlsberg. "I got him to drop me off at this shop. Bought this." She ran her palm across the fabric, curve of the pelvic girdle. He saw the blue derm on her wrist. "Like it?" "Sure." He automatically scanned the faces around them, then looked back at her. "What do you think you're up to, honey? You like the beta you got off us, Lupus?" She was very close now, radiating heat and tension, eyes slitted over enormous pupils and a tendon in her neck tense as a bowstring. She was quivering, vibrating invisibly with the fresh buzz. "You get off?" "Yeah, but the comedown's a bitch." "Then you need another one." "And what's that supposed to lead to?" "I got a key. Up the hill behind the Paradise, just the creamiest crib. People down the well on business tonight, if you follow me."
"If I follow you."
She took his hand between hers, her palms hot and dry.
You're Yak, aren't you, Lupus? Gaijin's soldierman for the Yakuza. You got an eye, huh? He withdrew his hand and fumbled for a cigarette. How come you got all your fingers, then? I thought you had to chop one off every time you screwed up.
I never screw up. He lit his cigarette.
I saw that girl you're with, day I met you. Walks like Hideo. Scares me.
She smiled too widely.
I like that.
She like it with girls?
Never said.
Who's Hideo?
Three Janes, what she calls it, retainer. Family retainer.
Case forced himself to stare dully at the emergency crowd while he spoke.
D. Jane?
Lady Three Jane. She's Triff. Rich. Her father owns all this.
This bar?
Freeside.
No shit. You keeping some class company, huh?
He raised an eyebrow, put his arm around her, his hand on her hip.
So how you meet these aristos, Kathy? You some kind of closet deb? You and Bruce secret heirs to some ripe old credit, huh?
He spread his fingers, kneading the flesh beneath the thin black cloth. She squirmed against him, laughed.
Oh, you know, she said, lids half lowered in what must have been intended as a look of modesty.
She likes to party. Bruce and I, we make the party circuit. It gets real boring for her in there. Her old man lets her out sometimes, as long as she brings Hideo to take care of her.
Where's it get boring?
Straylight, they call it. She told me, oh, it's pretty, all the pools and lilies. It's a castle, a real castle, all stone and sunsets.
She snuggled in against him.
Hey, Lupus, man, you need a derm, so we can be together.
She wore a tiny leather purse on a slender neck thong. Her nails were bright pink against her boosted tan, bitten to the quick. She opened the purse and withdrew a paper-backed bubble with a blue derm inside. Something white tumbled to the floor. Case stooped and picked it up. An origami crane.
Hideo gave it to me, she said. He tried to show me how, but I can't ever get it right. The necks come out backwards.
She tucked the folded paper back into her purse. Case watched as she tore the bubble away, peeled the derm from its backing, and smoothed it across his inner wrist.
Three Jane, she's got a pointy face, nose like a bird.
He watched his hands fumble an outline. Dark hair, young.
I guess, but she's Triff, you know, like all that money.
The drug hit him like an express train, a white-hot column of light mounting his spine from the region of his prostate, illumining the sutures of his skull with X-rays of short-circuited sexual energy. His teeth sang in their individual sockets like tuning forks, each one pitch-perfect and clear as ethanol. His bones, beneath the hazy envelope of his flesh, were chromed and polished, the joints lubricated with a film of silicone. Sandstorms raged across the scoured floor of his skull, generating waves of high, thin static that broke behind his eyes, spheres of purest crystal expanding.
Come on, she said, taking his hand. You got it now.
We got it. Up the hill. We'll have it all night. The anger was expanding, relentless, exponential, riding out behind the beta-phenethylamine rush like a carrier wave, a seismic fluid, rich and corrosive. His erection was a bar of lead. The faces around them in emergency were painted doll things, the pink and white of mouth parts moving, moving, words emerging like discrete balloons of sound. He looked at Kath and saw each pore in the tanned skin, eyes flat as dumb glass, a tint of dead metal, a faint bloating, the most minute asymmetries of breast and collarbone. Something flared white behind his eyes. He dropped her hand and stumbled for the door, shoving someone out of the way.
"Fuck you!" she screamed behind him. "You rip-off shit!"
He couldn't feel his legs. He used them like stilts, swaying crazily across the flagstone pavement of Jules Verne, a distant rumbling in his ears, his own blood, razored sheets of light bisecting his skull at a dozen angles. And then he was frozen, erect, fists tight against his thighs, head back, his lips curled, shaking. While he watched the Loser's Zodiac of Freeside, the nightclub constellations of the hologram sky shift, sliding fluid down the axis of darkness, to swarm like live things at the dead center of reality. Until they had arranged themselves, individually and in their hundreds, to form a vast, simple portrait, stippled the ultimate monochrome, stars against night sky, face of Miss Linda Lee. When he was able to look away, to lower his eyes, he found every other face in the street upraised, the strolling tourists becalmed with wonder. And when the lights in the sky went out, a ragged cheer went up from Jules Verne to echo off the terraces and ranked balconies of lunar concrete. Somewhere a clock began to chime, some ancient bell out of Europe. Midnight. He walked till morning. The high wore away, the chromed skeleton corroding hourly, flesh growing solid, the drug flesh replaced with the meat of his life. He couldn't think. He liked that very much, to be conscious and unable to think. He seemed to become each thing he saw, a park bench, a cloud of white moths around an antique streetlight, a robot gardener striped diagonally with black and yellow. A recorded dawn crept along the Lado Atchison system, pink and lurid. He forced himself to eat an omelet in a desiderata cafe, to drink water, to smoke the last of his cigarettes. The rooftop meadow of the Intercontinental was stirring as he crossed it, an early breakfast crowd intent on coffee and croissant beneath the striped umbrellas. He still had his anger. That was like being rolled in some alley and waking to discover your wallet still in your pocket, untouched. He warmed himself with it, unable to give it a name or an object. He rode the elevator down to his level, fumbling in his pocket for the Freeside credit chip that served as his key. Sleep was becoming real, was something he might do. To lie down on the sand-colored temper foam and again. They were waiting there, the three of them, their perfect white sports clothes and stenciled tans setting off the hand-woven organic chic of the furniture. The girl sat on a wicker sofa, an automatic pistol on the leaf-patterned print of the cushion. "Touring," she said. "You are under arrest."